This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720
WGN Chicago.
All the hits all the time, much more music here on the Steve Cochran Dance Party. It's show number 593 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Texters and phone calls at 312-981-7200. And for the entirety of today's show, mostly, I will not discuss politics. It's a politics-free, regardless of the town hall for the Democrats tonight, regardless of any of the news, unless there's really legitimate breaking news, not in a CNN breaking news, BS kind of way, really breaking news. The only time you'll hear politics discussed is with Grzanich at the top and you at the bottom, and with the previously scheduled Senator Durbin interview at 7:10.
Right. So we can talk about it. Obviously, it'll be part of the big story.
You and Dave can talk. Well, no, actually, none of us should talk about it. It should be top of the hour news, bottom of the hour news, and just the Durbin interview.
All right.
Now, here's a text question of the day. What are the rickets hiding? Now, hold on a second. That's not politics. That's not politics. That's sports.
You are walking a fine line,
because if I talk politics, Kevin, what sound will I hear? That'll be the sound that indicates I'm actually breaking my pledge and I'm talking politics.
But do you want, then should one of us give the background for that statement?
Yeah, you.
Okay. Trump tweeted out, the rickets better watch what they are watch what they're saying. They better watch it because, you know, you never know what they're hiding. Words to that effect. I don't have the exact tweet in front of me.
So, what are the rickets hiding? That's your Twitter question, Twitter text question of the day. That's your text question of the day. What are the rickets hiding? Dave, you thought yesterday World Series trophy.
I was thinking maybe they won it and didn't tell us.
Yeah, yeah. That's possible.
This, it came after Marlene Ricketts, which we talked about yesterday. It was revealed, made a multimillion dollar donation to a super PAC that's running negative, very negative and nasty ads against Donald Trump.
I have no comment on that.
Okay.
But in the text question world, the question is, what are the rickets hiding? What is this? What's the gentleman's name who put out that that tweet?
Donald Trump.
Yeah. They love me. They love me.
Yes, he put out that tweet.
My head's going to explode. So what are the rickets hiding? That's the text question today.
You don't want to hear anything that he said about tall people, fat people, short people. Also, it is a big story.
No, but I know the Randy Newman song. So maybe he was
quoting that. Yeah.
Yes. Look, this Kalamazoo story is just completely bizarre. It strikes me as really wrong, too, the way it's being covered with every time the shooter is mentioned. It's the Uber shooter. I got no stake in this game. I don't own Uber stock. I have literally never taken an Uber. I have my own car. But I think it's patently unfair to describe a psychopath who shot 8 people, murdered 6, and has the 7th clinging to life as the Uber shooter. So I don't know what Uber will do as a company. David Plouffe, who represents Uber, who, even though I'm not talking about politics today, was a major, major, major political mover and shaker, and without whom, Barack Obama would not have been elected. Plouffe is still with Uber, isn't he?
Yeah, he might be with us later in the week, too.
Okay.
But, you know, right now, you know, they did release a statement. We talked to Brooke yesterday. Brooke Anderson is Governor Quinn's former spokesperson, now a spokesperson for Uber.
Right.
And they're releasing a statement saying that, of course, Uber did everything right. They did a background check on this guy. They have no plans to expand their background check policies. They do have a no-gun policy, but think how hard that is to enforce.
Here's what we know now. And again, in the world of the Internet in 2016, we don't know everything immediately. We find that out again and again and again. Here's what we believe we know based on what the police in Kalamazoo have said and based on reports that have come out over and over again. This guy did not have a criminal record, and he had a gun that he apparently owned legally.
Mm-hmm.
So he's nuts. He's a lunatic with a gun. There's obviously more to the story that will come out at some point. The idea that you would go around and continue your job, whatever your job is, while you killed people. He didn't run. He wasn't concerned about being caught. He did his job. He killed people. He did his job, and he killed some more people. It's beyond crazy. There's no way to explain it. But I just think it's really unfair to call him the Uber shooter.
Yeah, again, Uber did everything right. They did the background check. Police did confirm in that background check, which was actually 1 month ago to the day, that they said that he had no criminal record, none.
Right. So there's no way to, you know, we don't live in, you live in a country where if the laws that are on the books are scan checked and that all the boxes are checked and everything else is completed by way of a pre-employment test, whatever that pre-employment test is, I don't know what the Uber people could have done. So
no, that's a great.
So how about
point.
We call him the lunatic? Because at this point, we don't know why he did it. We just know that he did do it. And in sports, Dave, you mentioned it at the top of the show, or top of this show, that the Blackhawks next play win.
The next play Thursday against the Nashville Predators.
And Kevin, who will he have on this week from the Blackhawks?
We are still confirming that. Possibly Andrew Shaw would be joining us tomorrow at 9:10 for Breakfast with the Blackhawk.
And he's Jonathan Toews calls him the little puke on Twitter. Yeah. Yeah.
He did that, yes.
And Jonathan Toews now has nearly 1 million followers, I'm being told.
He would, like, in 12 hours after he set up his Twitter account, he had over 70,000, I think.
Oh, 70,000. I thought it was 700,000.
Well, it might be by now.
Oh, okay. All right. No, I'm sure you're right, Dave.
And guess what? He's following me now, too.
He's got 88,800. No, 88,800 followers.
Okay.
He's not following Andrea.
All right,
he is following me. I'll show you the thing.
All right, so we just finished the first segment of the show, completely politics-free. At 6:15, Mary's here with the traffic trouble spots. And look at this, Mary. We're actually on time for traffic. I guess
Woo-hoo!
Politics is the problem.
See? There you go.
All right, what's happening? Having some issues with our text program. The text software that we're using here, which I believe is Text 1968, which is about, 35 or 40 years before text messaging was invented. It's the worst text program in history.
It's very strange.
I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? 6:20, Nick DiGilio joins us now. And Nick is on every night between 2 and 5 a.m. How was your show today?
It was good. It was good. We talked about the best Oscar music performances of all time, and I have to say that the two people that I share my show with, my producer Dan Chigrou and the lovely Esmeralda Leon, were too young to experience Snow White and Rob Lowe singing Creedence.
Yeah, that was strong. That was strong.
It was amazing. So.
Who hosted that year?
I don't remember who the host was. I just remember Alan Carr produced it. And he was pretty much run out of town on a rail.
Didn't they quit? The host quit right in the middle, right after that performance?
Yeah, it was the mid-80s, so my guess would be maybe Crystal.
Mid-80s.
Yeah. It's sick, because Carson was done at that point. I think Carson was done by that point. So
would Billy host that early? Maybe he did.
He might have. I don't know.
All right, so let's talk about movies for a second. Deadpool's still making a ton, right?
It's breaking all kinds of records, and I didn't see this one coming at all. This past weekend, it was the second weekend in the theaters, and it made $55 million its second weekend. Its total so far in 2 weeks, $235 million. This is a movie that may actually change the way that movies are released in the early part of the year. Because it's turned out to be such a huge blockbuster. And it also is the most successful R-rated comic book movie, although there are a ton of R-rated comic book movies. But this is the most successful one. And the reason I say it may change things is because nobody thought releasing a movie in mid-February was a good idea. You usually wait for the big blockbusters to come in May, and it keeps getting earlier every year. And now they might even move it up. They might even move up big blockbuster tentpole movies into February because of this. It's crazy.
Well, you think about it, even if it's not a blockbuster, why wouldn't you take advantage of a third to a half of the country being locked indoors during February? Because usually, not this year, but usually you've got weather issues, who want to go out and see a movie and don't go out and see a movie because the choices suck. So why wouldn't you put better movies out in February?
It makes sense. You and I, that's why we don't have jobs in Hollywood, Steve, is because we make sense.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but this movie is going to change things, and in that regard.
How much of this is Ryan Reynolds' appeal? Because isn't he beloved?
He is beloved. His movies are not, he's not been in a ton of successful movies. It's not like he's a huge box office draw. What the thing that really kicked people in with this one is that, you know, there have been, I mean, I don't know, Steve, I lose track of how many comic book movies get released every year, but it's in the double digits easy every year. And I think people wanted to see something different. I think people wanted to see like sort of an R-rated, raunchy, like, takeoff on comic book movies. I think people are sick of regular comic book movies and they wanted something different. And this is a very different kind of comic book movie, and people are going out in droves to see it.
How do we feel about R-rated comic book movies? I mean, I'm not a huge comic book movie guy, but I guess they're not really intended for kids, right? Anyway.
Well, I mean, a lot of the comic books that end up being made into movies that are rated R, the comics themselves are for adults. Like Deadpool, that comic is for, it's for adults. You know, kids are should not be reading it. And if you look at some of the R-rated comic book movies from the past, and, you know, R-rated comic book movies have been around. You know, you would think that the press, that they're twisting this Deadpool thing around, you would think that Deadpool is the first R-rated comic book movie of all time, the way the press has been twisting this. But it's not true. 300, which came out a few years ago, about 10 years ago, actually, that was R-rated. Sin City was an R-rated comic book movie. One of the first ones to be really popular was The Crow, the one where Brandon Lee ended up dead on the set. You've got Watchmen, you've got Kick-Ass, which I think is the movie that Deadpool wants to be, and a lot of people forget that the Tom Hanks movie, Road to Perdition, that's based on a comic book.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's an R-rated movie, shot in Chicago, and my favorite R-rated movie, here's another one that barely anybody remembers was based on a comic book. You remember History of Violence with Viggo Mortensen?
Sure, yeah.
Based on a comic book.
Did not know that. Well, let me ask you a question, because I don't know the answer to this. Do kids read comic books now?
Yeah, they do. They do.
As the comic book magazine format, or are they reading them online?
No, people are still going, you know, the online thing is huge, and it's not so much like little kids. It's teenagers and guys in their 20s who
Future criminals, ne'er-do-wells, drifters and thugs. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Every Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday, and I can't tell you the number of people who go to the comic book stores we see here in Chicago and just get there when the doors open and get stacks of new books. And every Wednesday, it's still a viable thing. And with the success of all these comic book movies, they're just going to continue. You know, comics popular.
Do girls go?
To get comics, I think a few do. I know a lot of them go to see the movies. I don't know necessarily if they read the comics. It's mostly a male thing.
Okay.
But what do we got? Two weeks from now is the Batman versus Superman movie.
Why can't they get along? Why do we live in a world where Batman and Superman can't get along?
You think they'd like to hang out?
You think they need counseling? You know? Maybe Batman and Superman couples counseling would help.
I think Batman clearly needs counseling. But the thing is, I do not have high hopes for this movie. I think this movie, in fact, is going to be a disaster. They just announced the running time of it, and it's 2 hours and 36 minutes.
Yeah,
and
you know what? I'm not going to see that. I mean, you have to. I don't have to. I'm not giving a movie 2.5 hours. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I really don't. And I just have a sneaking suspicion that this thing is going to turn out to be a massive disaster. And you know who's going to take it the most? Who they're going to blame it on the most is Affleck. And it's not going to be really going to be his fault.
No,
but you know, since he's taken over a role that, you know, Christian Bale played with such success,
yeah, it must be him.
They're going to blame it on Affleck. So
you got a plug too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. By the way, I want to thank Kevin for coming out to see Scarface on Saturday night at my screening.
At least one person on this show is loyal and decent.
And I know you guys have the commitments. That's cool. It was a great, we had a really great turnout. Kevin got to have a couple of mojitos and eat some empanadas.
Say hello to my little fried empanadas were delicious.
That's what they called them.
That's very nice. It's very creative. By the way, Kevin drinking a mojito, I can't picture that.
Oh, yeah.
He had two of them.
Pineapple mojitos were delicious. First mojito I think I've ever had. It's good.
I'm gonna get you a wine cooler next time, tough guy?
Oh, it just worked with Scarface.
Yeah, I understand. What's your next movie?
Next one, really, it's March 8th. It'll be Tuesday night, the regular Back to the Tuesdays for a while. Tuesday, March 8th, and we're showing John Carpenter's The Thing on the big screen, which is one of those movies that is absolutely where the, it's not often it happens, but where the remake is far superior to the original. Kurt Russell and his beard battling aliens. Fantastic.
Why wouldn't you want to see that? Tickets available where?
Movico.com, M-U-V-I-C-O. They're on sale right now, and it's Tuesday, March 8th. Only $10 to get in. Parking is free.
Thank you, buddy. And we're coming back with the big story next on 720 WGN and Steve Cochran Show.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
By the way, the prediction, or the forecast, also a prediction, has changed to some extent. A high of 50 now on Saturday. Remember, it's going to be freezing cold Friday, Saturday? Yeah, 50 now on Saturday.
Yeah.
So this is going to, you know, it's going to be winter for a couple more days. Kid of the Week sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. And remember, the Kid of the Week, year-end Kid of the Year situation is on. If you know a child that goes above and beyond, you should nominate them for Kid of the Week. Go to WGNradio.com/contest, submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week. And it could be something simple, could be something huge, could be anything in between. And you never know who we're going to pick for Kid of the Week. And in December, we choose a Kid of the Year from all 2016 Kid of the Week winners. And once again, want to thank Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. RayandRaymondDeals.com. They're putting up a $5,000 prize at the end of the year for the kid chosen for Kid of the Year, which is always a great thing. Joining us now is Morgan Krause. Good morning, Morgan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Your Kid of the Week.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a great kid. What year at school are you?
I'm a senior.
What are you going to do next year?
I'm going to Illinois State University to study education.
Fear the bird.
I made Kevin very happy. Kevin, the producer of this show, is an Illinois State grad. Do you have any questions for him?
Just did he like it?
That would be an understatement, Morgan. You've also already qualified for the – you're up on the top of the list for Kid of the Year, just for committing to Illinois State. Congratulations.
Now, Morgan, I can't actually say that that last part is true, but Kevin was very fond of his time at Illinois State. He was a drifter and did very little, but I think you can get a lot out of the academic experience and the social side as well.
Awesome. Good.
Yeah. I mean, if you have any other questions, please forward them to me, and I'll find someone who can actually answer them.
Okay.
Yes. What do you want to study, do you know?
Education.
Oh, so you are going to be a teacher. I guess you said that a moment ago, didn't you? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Should pay attention to my own show. So, Morgan, let me tell you who's bragging about you. And it's somebody that that I think you know, a high school teacher. It's your aunt who asked your mom for a list of the activities you're involved with in high school, which included a whole bunch of stuff, which you obviously know. But, Andrea, check this out. This is why... Dave, Mary, this is why I always feel bad about your own kids when you start reading off the list of what the Kid of the Week does. Student Association Officer, Student Committees, like Blood Drive, Student Coordinator of the Boutique, which collects prom dresses to sell for pennies so girls can go to prom, National Honor Society, Honor Roll, Tennis Team, Locks for Love, Appalachian Service Project in Kentucky in 2014 and 2015. Earned the Girl Scout Gold Award. It's like a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout situation. And third year in a row with a polar plunge. Who did you jump into the ice with?
The Riverside Brookfield Bulldogs.
And what is that?
It's just our school group.
How many kids went in?
From our group, I think there was 12 or 13.
And you did it how many years?
Three.
Okay, after you did it the first year, why'd you go back?
It was just a really fun experience and a great cause to donate to.
What's it feel like when you get into the water?
It's pretty cold.
You know, Steve's filled with a lot of stupid questions today.
That's great.
But anyway, we're proud of you for all the things you do. But the reason you stood out to me was the fact that your aunt was talking to us about what you did for her mom. Her mom is 84, can be a little stubborn at times. Apparently the family was visiting in Georgia, and you turned into the chauffeur.
Yes, I did.
And you like spending time with your grandparents or older folks in general?
Yeah, it was a really great trip. I had a lot of fun.
You know, the thing is, I wish more kids understood that. If you just shut up, get your face out of your phone, and listen when old people talk, you're going to learn something about life.
Morgan, how many great stories did she have?
Oh, she had lots of them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you're a good kid, and I appreciate you thinking about others instead of yourself. That's why you're Kid of the Week. Kevin, what did she win?
How about a pizza party for courtesy
Kevin,
of
Kevin, we're not talking about your college experience anymore. What has she won?
Well, she's won a pizza party from Lubonati's. Okay. She'll like that. All kids like pizza.
Yeah.
How about one of those sports rugs we've been giving out? You like sports, Morgan? You got a?
I do.
Okay, cool.
Who's your favorite Chicago team?
The Blackhawks.
Yeah, of course. Good call by
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. That's courtesy of Tri-State Carpet and Floor in Elgin, where you can afford to be floored. Visit iwanttobefloored.com. We'll send her one of those. She'll get the Kid of the Week certificate. We do have a MyPillow to give away.
Yeah, give her a MyPillow.
And we'll give her a MyPillow.
She'll take that to college.
Fear the bird.
And everything else on the prize list as well. Give her money, Kevin. Give her money out of my wallet.
Oh, your wallet? That's fine.
She's going to college. She's not going to have any money.
Right.
Morgan, have a great day at school. Thanks for being you.
Thank you so much.
All right, hold on. Nice kid, huh?
You know what's great is that, you know how you go back to high school, you were in, you know, an activity. I played tennis. You were in football. I mean, but then to go, you know, the kids nowadays, this is so awesome. She's in so many activities.
Yeah, and then she's driving Miss Grandma.
Exactly.
Or aunt's mom, I should say.
And then earning the gold award, which, like you said, is like the Eagle Scout for the Boy Scouts.
Her aunt, the teacher, right, she was so compassionate, yet not overly so when dealing with my mom, who can be very stubborn. She handled her like a pro, and she recently volunteered to drive her other grandmother for treatments and spend time helping her after an injury she had. She's an enormously sweet young lady who's there to help in any situation. I'm not kidding, though. You know what I mean? I mean, Dave, you're old. I like sitting around and listening to you tell stories. But I love listening to old folks just talk about their lives.
I used to love to listen to my grandma tell stories about when my grandpa owned a little storefront. You know, ironically, you know, kind of where I live now. It's just so cool to hear those stories.
Yeah, you got to get your face out of your phone and actually listen. Because here's the thing. Older folks will shut down. Older folks aren't like your parents. They're not like us. They're not going to go, oh, he's paying attention or she's paying attention or they're paying half attention. It is patently rude to a certain generation if you're staring at your phone while you're talking to them.
Yeah,
that's true.
But and that's why you got yelled at when you were visiting your dad last week. You wouldn't get your face out of your phone.
No, I put my phone away, but I was trying to help him set his up. So I had to spend a little time on the phone.
And some of the older folks have their own phones now, and they're on them. They love him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my dad, trying to get him, he's 92, but trying to get him to grasp the concept of texting is very difficult. Why wouldn't you just call?
Why don't you call?
Yeah.
Show him the little emojis.
Why am I taking the time on the phone? I just call.
Right. But they like to get the pictures. My aunt loves to get pictures on Facebook. She
just
loves it.
Get your face out of the phone and listen to somebody older than you. You'll be smarter for it. 648, Mary's here with the Traffic Trouble Smoke. We continue. Hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show, number 593, where I'm not talking about politics or campaign 2016 today, with the exception of the news top and bottom and the Senator Durbin interview coming up in just a few minutes, previously booked. Kevin, you'll back me up on this?
Yes. Previously, before you announced you were steering clear of politics on Tuesday, I booked him.
Yeah. By the way, this isn't every Tuesday. This is just today.
You're going to be okay, right? I mean, because
it does make my head hurt.
We don't want you to hold it all in the whole time. It's going to harm you.
The question of the day, which is not politics, is a sports question. What are the Ricketts hiding? This came from one of the candidates who said something yesterday related to this that I can't talk about. And who's the candidate?
The candidate would be Donald Trump, and he sent a tweet out saying that the Ricketts, implying the Ricketts are hiding something.
I'm really rich.
From the 847, all the Ricketts are hiding pucks in their pants. All of them.
It could be.
We got tons and tons of texts from people who think the Ricketts have pucks in their pants. From the 630, the Ricketts have been hiding a good Cubs team. Well, apparently until last year.
Yeah, it's coming out of hiding. Yeah.
From the 269, we all know the Ricketts are hiding a White Sox fan club pin. be careful if that pin becomes disengaged. From the 773, I don't know what's up with the Ricketts, but it's huge, huge, I tell you, huge.
And I say huge.
From the 269, this is interesting. We got a couple of the Ricketts are hiding Jimmy Hoffa in their pants.
Oh, that's funny.
But I don't know what this means. Jimmy Hoffa's underpants. I don't. Huh? Is that some sort of mob code?
I mean, it's sort of some sort of weird.
It was a band.
Hoffa's underpants?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wasn't in it, but I believe you. All right, so the other day you brought up a story that I love, the story about the Oscars bag.
Yes, the goodie bag. It's a $232,000 Oscar gift bag this year.
Yeah, it turns out it's not the actual bag. It's the unofficial, no affiliation with the Oscars bag that they're offering to everybody, which includes $300 personalized M&Ms. Why are personalized M&Ms $300?
I don't know.
Can I order M&Ms with your initials on them for like $50, $40, bucks, $30, $20, whatever?
And if you get the Groupon, you get them for half that.
A 10-day first-class trip to Israel for $55,000.
Right.
A $45,000 walking tour of Japan. Let me tell you something. If I'm spending $45,000 on a tour, I ain't walking.
It's a private walking tour.
Why am I walking if I'm spending $45,000?
Because don't you want to enjoy the city?
Yeah. When someone else is driving or rickshawing me around town.
Well, you could get a bike. They all ride bikes there.
Is that an addition to my $45,000?
Well, you'll get there
spent?
Faster, yeah.
A $275 toilet paper. What was the story on the toilet paper? I forgot. You told me and I forgot.
Oh, it was made. It was like Swiss-made toilet paper.
Very high-end. I don't know what this is. A Hayes dual vaporizer for $250. A 10,000-meal donation made in the nominee's name to an animal shelter or rescue of their choice. $6,300. A lifetime supply of Puer. Can't be the right pronunciation.
What? We spell it.
P-U-E-R-H. Puer.
Puer.
Tea, nourishing cream, and Puer tea cleansing bar, $31,000. A year's worth of Audi car rentals from Silver Car, $45,000. I mentioned the trip to Israel. Tribute video services, $125. I don't know. Is that a video of you doing your presentation, probably?
Yeah, or if they want to videotape. I shouldn't say videotape. If they want to record an event.
The Kaolion Ultimate Pore Gift Care Set. So it takes care of your pores, but it does it like ultimately. $134. The Healing St. Luminosity Skin Serum and Hair Follicle Stimulant. Hey, wait a minute.
Oh.
That might work for me. $193. The private 15-day walking tour of Japan. Well, the price has gone up. Now it's $54,000. It's in the same story. It was $45,000. Why'd you mention the bike, Mary? Now it's costing me $54.
Sorry.
Oh.
But is the airfare included?
No, you have to walk to Japan.
Yeah.
doesn't seem right.
10 personal training sessions with Alexis Seletsky. Do we know who that is?
No, but I'll take 10 personal training sessions.
Well, it's $900. I got to be honest with you. That's about what they charge at the gym down the street, right?
It's about, yeah.
$90 a session. Beldini gift certificate. What does Beldini sell?
I'm not familiar with Beldini.
No idea. Sounds like shoes.
This is all high end.
$300. Women's clothing and apparel, I'm being told. Beldini? I've never heard of it. Chocolatine's Drunken Fig Cake Bites.
Nice.
Dave, the word drunk's in there.
And fig, Dave?
Yeah, it's healthy.
$35. Dandy Patch Antiperspirant Solution.
Okay, that's glamorous.
Yeah, $21. A Delivery Gift Basket, $2,000. Druzy Earrings, $25. Earrings for $25? What is that?
You know, just one of these would be a cool gift.
Don't you think most of these people have all of the stuff that need?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not, if the world was properly ordered, they'd be putting together a gift bag for the homeless folks, right?
Right.
Breaking it outside?
Right.
A Fit Club TV Ultimate Fitness Package, $6,200. Gleaner on the Go, $12. I don 3-day stay at the Golden Door Resort and Spa in San Marcos, $4,800. 3-night stay at the Grand Hotel Alexia Vittoria in Sorrento, Italy, $5,000. Another stay at Lake Como, Italy, $5,000. Greenville Blanc de Blanc Wine, $39. I mean, some of this stuff, they put in a bag of gummies for $20.
They put a protein bar in there, too.
Yeah, a protein bar.
And chapstick.
Yeah, that's the amazing one. My favorite one is chapstick, $6. Who spent $6 on chapstick?
$200,000. Don't forget the vampire breast lift for $1,900.
Yeah, and we still don't know why you're letting vampires touch your breasts. I don't know what that's about. But this is an unofficial gift bag, not affiliated with the Oscars, so I don't know how they even get it to the people.
I don't know.
They apparently just glom on. They send it to their managers.
I tell you, though, I'm sure they look for them. I'm sure all these celebrities want one of these gift bags.
Senator Durbin coming up in 10 minutes. Stand by for that. We'll be with your news in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
7-Eleven in the morning, Senator Durbin standing by at Senator Durbin on social media. And good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Steve?
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm a little frustrated with you guys. Not you guys. The entire political process. I assume you share that.
I do, but I think things are really shaking out. Hillary Clinton's wins, particularly in Nevada, I think give her a clear lead in delegates. Bernie Sanders has a lot of support, but I think there was a fear that if Bernie carried Nevada, it was going to be a toe-to-toe contest to the end. So at this point, Hillary has some momentum, and I think she's likely to be the nominee. Now, on the Republican side, I'm running into Republican senators this morning in the gym who were saying under their breath, we've got to step up and endorse Rubio. This is the only way to stop Trump. So that appears to be the growing feeling. You could see it in the endorsements on the Republican side.
What is the disinterest in Governor Kasich? I know Kasich, he's got all the electricity of an Amish farm. But having said that,
that's a great line, Steve.
Well, thanks.
I like that.
Thanks, I have writers. But in all honesty, he's one of the most qualified guys, and in the field of the Republicans, why is he unable to break through? Is he just not noisy enough?
You're asking me to analyze the Republican primary voter. I may not be the best person to do it. John was elected to the House same year I was, 82. There are only two Republicans elected that year, new members, John Kasich, Tom Ridge. Each went on to become the governors of their state. And so I've known John for a long, long time, and what you hear is race, basically his brand of politics. It doesn't appear that is selling in this Republican primary atmosphere.
It's, regardless of your party, the idea that that amount of experience is now a negative, I don't know. In the meantime, Bernie Sanders was in the House forever. He's been in the Senate for what? I think he's in his second term now. 2007 or so is when he took over for Jim Jeffords.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So how does a guy who made almost no noise in Congress suddenly be this big a deal as a national flavor? What is the juxtaposition with Hillary? And is this more about being tired of the Clinton name?
Well, I think there is some of that. I'm not going to discount it completely. But basically, Bernie's message strikes a chord with many voters. He basically says this system is not working well for working families. And frankly, a lot of people in the financial community in Wall Street are getting off the hook. We bail them out, and then they turn around and get fined. Nobody spends a day in jail. And at the end of the day, we end up believing that the deck is stacked and rigged. And I think that resonates with a lot of people. It certainly resonates when he says that working families are falling behind. Steve, the folks listening to your program, if they looked at the numbers, would say, we don't get it. You know, our productivity as American workers, the profitability of the companies that we work with has grown exponentially, and our wages aren't growing. What's wrong with this picture? So when Bernie starts talking about that, he is really striking a chord, and Hillary's listening along with everyone else.
Well, it's been made very clear how unpopular Ted Cruz is in the Senate. What is the feeling amongst Democrats about Bernie Sanders?
Well, it's positive. As I've said to people over and over again, every speech you've heard from Bernie, I've heard at lunch for the last several years. He gets up, and this is who he is. This is what he believes, and he speaks in very respectful tones, but firm about his beliefs. So, you know, there is a positive feeling about him. And, of course, you know, you'd be a fool to step back and not acknowledge that he has this incredible organization, particularly when it comes to fundraising. He's broken all the records of small contributors across America who are keeping his campaign afloat.
Andrea, say hi to Senator Durbin.
Senator, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You know, when I was in New Hampshire, I was getting the feeling when I was talking to Hillary supporters at the various rallies that, and then Bernie supporters actually too, that obviously they want their candidate, but one would be okay with the other. A lot of people I interviewed said, well, we really want Bernie Sanders to win, but we're okay if Hillary wins. I did not see that same, I guess, camaraderie on the Republican side. You know, voters very steadfast either for Cruz or for Trump. Do you kind of see that as well, too, among constituents?
Absolutely. It's been 8 or 9 years ago when I sat down with then-Senator Barack Obama and encouraged him to run for president against Hillary. And I said to him, at the end of the day, both of you are going to light up the scoreboard of people who support you. And if we can bring those two factions together, we can win the presidential. And that, I think, is the same dynamic at work here on the Democratic side. I've heard exactly what you've heard. Bernie Sanders supporters are loyal to him, believe in him, and they're passionate. But the thought of a Donald Trump presidency is not something that they're going to stomach. So they are likely to come home if Bernie is not the nominee and support the Democratic nominee.
The Donald Trump, the existence of Donald Trump is a factor of many things. It really appear to be the perfect storm, but it is undeniable that the people who have been the loudest and the people that have been covered the most are sick of, quote, politics as usual. Now, I can tell you again, and I've said this over and over again, when you say the guy says what he thinks, that doesn't make him presidential.
No.
Because anybody can say what they think, and they shouldn't be presidential. Having said that, why has he struck such a chord with the people that have been heard from so far?
Well, I think there is an anger out there about the state of politics in America, the state of the economy in America, and Trump taps it. I look at him and think, my goodness, how many times in his campaign has he said something which in the old days would have disqualified him? Remember when they
every day.
That's right. When they tossed Joe Biden because he quoted a British politician and didn't mention his name,
right.
That was it. Biden,
right.
You're done.
Right.
And I look at Trump and I think there's nothing. This man can attack the Pope. He can go after all of the Mexican Americans. He can do whatever he wishes. And there apparently is the appetite for that. I mean, some voters in the electorate. Think of this. In New Hampshire, Republican voters, 2 out of 3, agreed with the Trump statement that we should not allow Muslims to come in this country. By the time it got to South Carolina, Republican primary voters, 75% agreed with that statement. So he is appealing to a slice of the electorate that is angry and ready to go to some pretty extreme positions.
Antonin Scalia dies and literally has not his body hasn't left the state of Texas when a fever hits to say the president should not name a new justice. Now, look, with all due, and you've always been honest, with all due respect to both parties, if the situation were reversed, the Democrats would find themselves in a position as well. But it's not. The president has to execute his constitutional duty, and the Senate has the right to vote an individual up or down. I don't understand the delay.
Well, I can tell you, within 90 minutes after the announcement of Justice Scalia's passing, Senator McConnell, the Republican Senate leader, said, we are not going to fill this vacancy. We're going to wait till after the election. And I really think that was not appropriate. Let's just leave it at that under those circumstances. I believe most Americans understand, as you just said, Steve, there is a constitutional responsibility of the president to fill the vacancy, a constitutional responsibility of the Senate to advise and consent, which is means an up or down vote. And I think that's a process that should go forward. If the tables were turned and Democrats were in this position, you may find a lot of us voting against the nominee, ultimately, for a variety of reasons. But I think in respect to the Constitution, we should at least go through this process. The president called a day or two ago. We talked about this. He has a list of potential nominees. He says these good quality people. I'm going to find one that I can stand behind and submit that name to the Senate. I think he has a constitutional responsibility to do that.
Any idea on a timeline?
No, you know, he doesn't want to be rushed into it, wants to do it in a thoughtful way, but it comes as no surprise that they have been anticipating this. We have some justices who are up in years and anything can happen, and so they had a list, I can't tell you the exact number, of potential Supreme Court nominees, which they're going through again.
Do you have to, if you're President Obama, put forward a sacrificial lamb because you are concerned the Senate will just shoot down anybody so you don't lose your A pick?
Well, I could tell you that he wants a person that will do justice, there's a pun for you, to the Supreme Court and its history and its responsibility. And he certainly wants someone who is credible that he can put forward. So I don't think it's going to be just a sacrificial lamb. I think it's going to be someone he truly believes in that he can get behind. But you have to say to the nominee, as you sit down and say, I'm going to submit your name, this is going to be a rough ride. You can imagine over the next 6 or 8 months, everybody's going to comb through everything you ever said or did. And so a number of nominees may not be ready for that.
Senator, do you see that vacancy being filled, though?
I can't tell you at this moment. I think based on Senator McConnell's statements, it is unlikely. But we have to go through this. We have a constitutional responsibility. rejecting the president's nominee sight unseen, which is what Senator McConnell was suggesting, it just doesn't work. Democrats and Republicans understand that is raw politics.
And Senator Kirk has stepped up yesterday and said we've got to take a vote.
And I give him credit for that. And he's the only Republican I think of right now. Senator Grassley has hinted that he might, but he's not been as clear as Senator Kirk on this.
Yeah, so good for him. And how about the irony that Scalia, whose position we'd be filling, is an originalist who believed that the Constitution should be followed to the letter, and the people who are saying you can't fill it are the people who claim they love the Constitution and support Scalia. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's fairly typical of politics on Capitol Hill. You grab the Constitution and quote it when you think it helps and ignore it when it doesn't.
I know you like the gig, but you ought to get maybe your application in at Starbucks or something. I'm just saying.
Barista?
Barista Durbin. Is my coffee ready?
Is barista the masculine verb?
I believe it is.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it is. Look
at
you. You're already qualified. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Great. Good talking to both of you.
Take care. Senator Dick Durbin, at Senator Durbin on social media. Is there a website I should plug with that, Kev, as well?
Senator Durbin's website? Yeah, I'll get it here for you in just a second.
722. And just to recap, Senator Kirk yesterday afternoon came out and said that the president needs to make a nominee and the Senate needs to act.
You know, I will
Republican Senator Kirk.
I'll say something that Illinois can be proud of. The ability of Senators Durbin and Kirk
to get along.
They get along, and they're very good examples of putting aside partisan politics to try and advance a cause. They've worked together on veterans bills. They've worked together on other bills.
That's right. I was out of it, wasn't
I? No. This is still part. We're wrapping up the Durbin.
No.
He's off the air.
Then I'll say it. Senators Trump. Oh, God. Look what you've done to me. Senators Kirk and Durbin have really worked well to bridge the gap and work together on bipartisan legislation.
That's for you, Mayor. Take that duct tape off.
I got it.
Thanks.
729, texters at 312-981-7200. Yesterday, one of the candidates that I can't talk about, because it's Tuesday and I said I wouldn't, tweeted that he had found out that a member of the Ricketts family was spending money against him, and they better watch out. They've got a lot to hide. What are the Ricketts hiding? 312-981-7200. Again, if you don't know what the Ricketts are hiding, or if you're an actual member of the Ricketts family, you know, you text in. You can make it up. 312-981-7200. Very creative audience. Very, very creative. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll go over some more of those texts. We also want to talk about this Apple versus the FBI security issue in regards to the San Bernardino shooters. I don't understand. That's why I want to get a tech person on. I don't understand why software/code couldn't be written to be used one time and then destroyed.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Well, why isn't that what's being discussed?
Well, maybe it is now with all the backlash.
I don't know. I mean, you don't need to reinvent the phone. You don't need to end encryption. Just write code for this one time and then destroy the code. And if you have to, destroy the person. That's an episode of 24.
No, it's not a bad idea, though. You know how sometimes people use phones for business?
Yeah.
Maybe illegal business, but they take a phone and then it's a couple time use and then you throw it away.
Yeah.
Destroy
disposable
it.
Phones. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's what I want to get answered today. Look at a secure financing on a new home or refinance the one you have, then you need to call David Hochberg. And by the way, I know nothing about writing code, so that may be completely impossible, but in my head, it's a heck of a solution. Let's see. David Hochberg, Vice President of Pearl Mortgage. Don and his father love David's information. Hochberg will be on today, won't he? Isn't Hochberg coming in today?
Yeah, in studio at 9:10.
Okay. Consider yourself warned, people. When they needed a mortgage, they called David. No, they didn't call David. See, they made the mistake others make, where you use your brother-in-law's, father-in-law's cousin, or a guy you sat next to when you were getting your oil changed. You seem like a decent fella. Look, if you cut out all the nonsense and you go to Hochberg first, you won't have these stresses and tensions. David answered their questions, gave them accurate information that their current lenders didn't give them, and is now helping both of them secure mortgages on their new homes. If you're purchasing a home and want to work with an honest lender, that will always look out for your best interest. Call David at 312-751-1333. Email David at pearldavid.com, P-E-R-L-David.com, or go to WGNDavid.com. Pearl Mortgage is an equal housing lender. Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee 4358. Licensed by DBO under California RMLA NMLS 19186. Nope, I don't know what that means either. But I do know pearlmortgage.com licensing is where David Hochberg works. You can call him at 312-751-1333.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
/7:41 text messages. What are the rickets hiding, Dave? Any idea at all?
I really don't know.
The rickets, according to the 920, they're actually hiding Brewers fans. That'd be a surprise.
That's weird.
From the 847, they're hiding Steve Bartman. The rickets have Steve Bartman in their pants.
So. Nope.
Oh, no. That's a different contest.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I combined two things. 815, they're hiding Nancy Sinatra until she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's interesting. Why would you hide a Sinatra at this point? Frank's dead. He can't hurt you.
I don't know. Her boots were made for walking.
All right, but please penalize yourself.
Just
penalize yourself.
Sorry.
From the 708, the rickets are hiding an underground storage unit beneath Wrigley Field with never-before-seen priceless Bob Ross paintings. You know Bob Ross is?
Yeah, wasn't he like the happy little clouds?
I can teach you to paint, guy. From the 815, the Ricketts family is hiding their controlling interest in Hair Club for Men and have the patent for the comb over that they will only use on the president. Ooh, now we may be getting somewhere. That's why the candidate who I can't say might be upset. All right, so anyway, texters, keep it coming. 312-981-7200.
Can I just say you've been very good, by the way? I know you got a buzz.
I got a headache.
Well, not a literal buzz. You got an actual buzz from Kevin, but you've been very good about not being political today.
I really only violated the agreement once. Yeah, just once.
And I think that was kind of on the trail of the Durbin interview, so.
You know, but you're being codependent now, you know.
What, because I want you to talk about it.
Right. You're trying to set me up for another buzzer. All right, so the San Bernardino shooters had two iPhones. And those two iPhones were destroyed prior to the shootout that ended their lives. This is after the murders that they committed at the workplace of the husband of the two shooters. Since then, the FBI has admitted they screwed up. The FBI, in an attempt to not have those who may be in control of the phone, allowed the phone's password to be reset, which avoided another version of a backdoor ability to get onto the cloud and restore all the data from the phone that had been previously backed up. With the reset password, which is now apparently unrecoverable, there is only one way to crack the code of the phone. Even with all the geniuses in all of Silicon Valley and beyond, the one way to crack the phone is to write new code for the phone, to literally invent a new operating system for the phone that would allow a backdoor into the phone that would allow you to extract the data that's been placed on the cloud, the data which may be, I don't know, do iPhones have SIM cards? Do iPhones have internal storage? I don't even know that. I'm not an iPhone guy.
That's a good question. I have one, and I know we have the cloud.
Kevin, do iPhones have SIM cards?
Most of them don't. Also, SIM cards normally depend on your carrier when it comes to SIM cards.
Yeah.
But it's all in the cloud.
So anyway, that's the genesis of the debate that's gone on. Tim Cook, the head of Apple, has said that he has no interest in breaking the encryption agreement he has with Apple users. All of this has led to some creative texters as well. One phone caller, said, well, I guess if I'm a terrorist, I'm going to get an iPhone because nobody's ever going to crack that, the FBI or anybody else.
Do you hear what Bill Gates said, too? Bill Gates is saying that he thinks that for this specific case, they should be allowed to crack it and go into it.
So my question is, and we're efforting, you know, a code writer who can actually speak normal human being. And we're trying to find somebody. Why can't you write one-time code and let it go? Now, we just had a discussion about this off the air. I understand that that still would allow a small number of people to have access to the one-time code and anybody could be devious enough to keep the code and eventually use it for evil. But you have to make such assumptive leaps here. You have to assume that the small amount of people who are trying to do the right thing here to crack the code into these terrorist phones. And by the way, we may find nothing. You may get all the data from these phones and find nothing, but you don't know until you know. And the victims' lives matter. Whether or not there is a terrorist cell associated with these people in this country matters. Whether their future plans matter. I don't understand why a handful of people knowing how to do this ends encryption on all phones throughout the world.
Honestly, just my own opinion, I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, you're going into one phone. You're now having to write code to get into this phone. He's a terrorist. You're not saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to go into every... Now we're going to go into everybody's phone and look at their pictures. And even if that were the case, which it's not, who cares?
Well, Tim Cook and the folks at Google and others have said that this is Pandora's box. You open the lid on Pandora's box and anything's possible. Once you allow a special backdoor to encryption, it changes. But the original request by the FBI that the FBI wanted, and why wouldn't you ask for this if you're the FBI? The FBI wanted a backdoor for all phones for criminal processes. And, of course, that should be an answer of no.
Yes.
It's a private business.
Absolutely.
So if the answer is no to that, there still should be a way for the smartest technical minds to be able to get into this phone, get the data, destroy the code, whatever you use to do it. You make that person sign an agreement for the rest of their life that as soon as you turn into a terrorist or a bad guy, or you tell your girlfriend or your boyfriend anything about what you've done here, you're going to have to deal with Jack Bauer. And you don't want that.
Damn it!
It should be on the terms and conditions. You know, when you read through all those pages and pages and pages, yeah. It should be at the bottom. And by the way, if you should ever use this phone for illegal purposes.
I went to the millennials on this. By this, I mean Kevin and Ross. And they don't think I'm crazy, which means we may actually have a very simple answer here. Is that still the opinion in that room?
Yeah, for the most part, we don't think you're crazy.
No, I don't.
For the most part.
I don't mean about everything. I just mean about this.
Yes. No, we do. I think we all see eye to eye on this. You know, on top of this, too, you have the way this phone is set is they have 10 chances to crack this code. And if they don't, all the data will be automatically erased from the phone.
Yeah, right. And I don't know how many they've used so far, but... You know, if you got Herb over at the FBI going, 47829. How many more have I got? 47928.
And she likely used a 6-digit passcode, which makes it increasingly more difficult.
Mm. Kevin, when you're hacking into websites, is this a type of numerical effort that you would make as well, where you just guess?
Yeah, I normally do some of the more popular passwords that we see released each year.
Like my password is?
Like my password or QWERTY or 123456. Yeah. I wonder if they've tried 123456.
Hey.
That's a possibility.
Nobody'd see that coming.
No.
What if that were your last choice?
Forget it. Go
I'm
with
so
123456.
Sick of this. Yeah. Try 123456. Ding. Welcome.
What was the movie last year with Benedict Cumberbatch and they were trying to crack the code? And then remember they spent years cracking it.
Why don't
and
we
then
get Benedict Cumberbatch to do this?
There you go. He's Sherlock Holmes anyway.
Finally an answer. 7:48. Mary, you have your traffic trouble spots update. Smooth, mellow bump music on your smooth, mellow bump music station. It's Steve Cochran, and thanks for listening. Let's go to the texters first here from the 630. Apple protecting criminals? I'm shocked. I mean, somebody had a bad experience at the Genius Bar. From the 425, I've been in the tech industry for 20 years. They could crack the code and then follow it up with a patch that would render the phone useless. See, this is all the stuff I don't understand, but it makes sense, right?
Well, that's kind of what you suggested before, too. It's like the disposable phones. One-time thing.
Are you going to tell me they can't already do this and the phone belonged to San Bernardino County and they're cooperating? There's no expectation on privacy with a work phone. Is that true? I don't know if that was. I thought that was a private phone. No, these are private phones.
I think they were private phones, yeah. It's not a work phone, right?
It was a work phone?
Yeah.
These are work phones?
It's a work phone, yeah.
Well, then how is this even a discussion?
It's a
county phone. It's a government organization. The FBI wants government information?
Yeah, but it still goes back to the fact that Apple made the phone, and they need to use Apple to get into
the
phone.
So Apple would still argue with it. Still, it seems like if I want information from Rokan and Rokan works here, it's easier to get than if I'm working at some other chump station and I want information from Rokan. Not that Rokan will tell me anything because Rokan is a criminal.
Well, you'd have to break into his phone. Would you want to, though?
Why am I picking on Ro? I like Ro. 3-7 on WGN. Let's see. Does it bother anyone that the FBI has no one who can hack the phone? Hire a 13-year-old Russian kid.
Or the Russian kid.
Let's see. Apple, there's no way to write something that would only work on that one phone, couldn't be used on all iOS devices if it got out. No, I get that. But why does it have to get out?
You know, there almost should be like dispensation or an amendment or something like that just to do this, like almost a one-time thing just for this. Or like you said, I mean, this is a terrorist. This isn't just you or Ro. Well, I shouldn't be speaking for you, but
I don't know why terrorist and Ro and I have to be in the same sentence. Why not write the code and then send all Apple devices an encryption update? I so wish I knew what you were talking about.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. No. Don't you guys get that on your phone? I know you're not Apple users, but it'll say you have a software update. And you click on it, and then your phone is pretty much useless for a couple of minutes while it goes into your phone, replaces all the old information with the new information.
Yeah, but I think I like this. Somebody sounds like they hacked into Steve's brain. It sounds very damaged right now. And the good news for you is my brain's not encrypted. I'll tell you anything. I think the problem remains is this fear that no matter what you do, if you backdoor a phone to let this information out, even though the FBI has been granted access to phones apparently by Apple 70 different times, it's been reported in numerous ways. In this case, they're saying no. But the original no comes from the fact that the FBI said, give us a backdoor to all phones going forward.
Right.
Well, no, you're not going to do that.
No, it should just, again, just
even though I
think
that is like the whole NSA thing, I think that's crazy paranoid as well. Because, again, you tap into my phone, it ain't that interesting. And, frankly, I hate to break it to you. Most of you people worried about this, your lives aren't that interesting.
I agree.
Just get on with your lives. They're interesting to you. They're interesting to me. But the government doesn't have time, energy. And with all the funniest thing to me about this, I love the notion that the government, which can't put one foot in front of the other without tripping over itself, which can't nominate a new Supreme Court justice, which can't find two people that you really want to run against each other for president, that genius bar in Washington is suddenly going to hack into your secure data all over America and ruin your lives.
It was very good.
I think you need a...
Was that politics?
Yes.
I
was waiting
that
for
was
you.
Life.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that was not politics. No, it was very general.
You talked about the Supreme Court and electing someone.
Thank you. I don't know, you guys. He has to be specific about a candidate. He wasn't.
No, he doesn't.
I feel like I got buzzed.
Anything politics.
That's a great point, though. I was going to say you don't have to worry about it in Illinois because there's not enough money to do it.
Well, it's like the argument everybody used to have about George Bush. You can't say George Bush was a complete idiot, but he was some evil genius that started a war and nobody knew he was doing it. You know, you pick one. Pick one. Oh, that was George Bush. That's politics. You got another buzz?
Okay.
I was doing really well.
Until now.
7:58 News Next, Dean in 10 minutes on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Well, I'm Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. I have to go get some bread and milk since we're going to be snowed in.
Only if you're in Ann Arbor.
I have to get hysterical.
Yes, get hysterical and lose your mind.
Got to get the bread and milk.
And by the way, make sure that your iPhone isn't being tapped by the FBI because they're very interested in what you and I have to say.
I welcome anyone who wants to tap my iPhone.
I'm the same way. I really am. Texters, what are the Ricketts family hiding, Dean? Let's see if you enjoy these. From the 815, the Ricketts are buying the White House and going to charge anyone who lives there Millions a month for rent. Well, I didn't see that coming. The 219, they're hiding Ted Cruz's birth certificate. From the 847, the Ricketts have Ricketts. From the 563, the Ricketts are hiding puppies because they love puppies. From the 847, Tom Ricketts is hiding a tramp stamp tattoo on his lower back that's really a Trump stamp.
Ooh, thanks for that visual.
Oh, I said Trump. Am I going to get buzzed for that? I pledge that I wouldn't talk about politics today.
Although you're just reading a text.
Yeah,
I think that's still walking the line.
And from the 60 other, the Ricketts are hiding the code to get into locked iPhones. you listeners are... you're funny. That's all you are. You're just funny. At 8:13, Dean, we've got a lot of show business news to go through. And frankly, this is more important than anything else we're talking about.
SpongeBob the Musical. Do I need to say more?
And Drake plays a bar mitzvah.
Hey, if you could sing three songs and make about $500,000, I say God bless him.
I said Hava, a Megillah. A Hava, a Megillah. Vanessa Hudgens getting a twos, Vanessa Hudgens.
I used to call you on my yarmulke. Okay, we're getting dangerously close to hate mail.
You know what Andrea got me from Iowa? She got me a Marco Rubio autographed yarmulke.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have you worn it?
Politics.
Oh, we're talking about the yarmulke.
No, but we're talking about souvenirs.
Yeah.
Dean, when I went to Iowa, I got Steve a Marco Rubio autographed yarmulke.
That's cool. Hey, yeah. Steve, have you worn it? Because I'd like to see what it looks like on your giant head.
Steve, either nod or say or shake your head no.
I can't comment on that.
I bet it looks like a postage stamp on most people's heads.
The only thing missing is the propeller.
Looks like a little Shriner.
Nice.
Rihanna has more number one hits than Michael Jackson. That's coming up.
Yeah.
John Legend's on the show. SpongeBob you mentioned. Oh, there's a lot to get to.
SpongeBob the Musical. Try to hold back your enthusiasm.
Some people say Broadway's run out of ideas. all right, 8:15 first. Traffic trouble spots. Here's Mary. As we continue, Dean Richards here. And, of course, the blizzard of Ann Arbor that's coming is very dangerous. So if you live in the one place, Dean, that I think all of life will be shut down appears to be Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yep. Whoever's going there, I mean, you got
to be. You got to be nuts to go to Ann Arbor.
You're a complete idiot right now to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
That's all we're saying. So be careful out there if you're going
to
Ann Arbor.
Thanks for the support.
Yeah. All right, so before we get to the big SpongeBob news, Rihanna statistically has beaten Michael Jackson?
Yeah, you know, in terms of number one songs, she now has 14 number one songs with her latest that's called Work. Michael Jackson only. Michael Jackson had 13 number one songs. But that's still not the most ever. The Beatles had 20. Mariah Carey had 18. But eclipsing Michael Jackson is formidable.
Can you, Kevin, get us a clip of the new Rihanna song?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. Let me know when it's ready. There's a documentary that's running on HBO now about Michael Jackson that ends when they did Bad, so it sets up for a sequel. But it's pretty cool.
That's not the Spike Lee Michael Jackson documentary.
I don't think it is Spike Lee.
So yeah. I think that's going to be theatrical before it goes to HBO, but I'm not sure. Spike Lee's done one that only focuses on his music, nothing about his personal life, nothing about allegations that have been made through the years, strictly on Michael Jackson's music, which, you know, as long as you say that up front, that's a pretty amazing musical career.
Incredible. And by the way, some of the best documentary work is being done on pay cable now. HBO, Showtime.
Yep.
Doing really good documentary work.
I saw one on...
you know, CNN's doing great documentary work. Their regular programming blows, but but their documentaries are great.
What?
Yeah, well, that's true. Rolling Stones' Ron Wood. How old is he now?
He would be 68 years old.
So he's 100.
In normal years, yeah. 68 Rolling Stone years. It's like dog years. Each one is seven. So he's got... let me see. He's got kids right now...
Well, he's 68. His oldest has got to be 65?
32.
Oh, 32. Okay.
He's got kids right now that range from, 41. His kids range from 41 to 32 years old. His new wife also falls into that age group. She is 38 years old and is now expecting twins in June. The Rolling Stones are on tour in Latin America right now, and she was touring with them. but left because of, you know, they're scared of the Zika virus. So she's gone home to rest. He's going to continue the tour and enjoy his many, many children and 10 grandchildren.
Rod Stewart is my favorite age range story for kids. Rod Stewart's got like 7, 8, 9 kids, and they range in age from less than a year to 51.
That's your granddaughter? Oh, no, that's my sister.
That's just fantastic.
Wow.
Here's a little bit of Rihanna. Hope you enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah, you can see why that's number one. You can see why that shot right to the top of the charts.
Yeah, well, we don't want to give you too much. It's a taste.
I like Rihanna.
How much can we play before we have to pay for it?
58 seconds.
All right, go ahead. Work, work, you see me, I be work, 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 you see me? Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Love the songwriting.
Yeah.
Love the words.
Drake's going to play a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah?
He has already. He's played a bat mitzvah over the weekend. It was the daughter of some guy who owns a real estate company. Apparently has quite a bit of money. The bat mitzvah was held at the Rainbow Room in New York, which does not come cheap, number one. He hires Drake to perform for his daughter. Drake sings three songs.
I used to call you on my cell phone.
Well, there is video of that.
Ridiculous.
Of Drake singing that with this little girl dancing with him. Cost to the father somewhere between $300,000 and $600,000.
For three songs?
For three songs at the Rainbow Room in New York.
I've done a show at the Rainbow Room. I don't remember it being worth $600,000. Oh, well, he got paid that. He didn't pay for that before.
Yeah, he got paid.
I wonder what it cost to rent the Rainbow Room.
Yeah. So don't you think at least that much? At least $500,000?
Yeah, probably, because you probably got 100 knucklehead kids in
there. One of the most prestigious rooms in New York ever.
Well, what would you charge to do a bat mitzvah?
I would go to a bat mitzvah, and I would do three songs for $8.
Oh, that's a bargain.
Yeah. Let's see. John Legend's in the
news. Difference is that Steve actually pays the people to listen to him.
Yeah, $8
sing the songs.
$8 each.
Steve doesn't get paid that. He pays them. You want to hear me? If you pay me, I'll sing.
Right. I would do Mandy from Barry Manilow.
Jimmy Crack Corn is always a favorite. I love when
you
sing.
I'm not going to do that in the medley. I'll do the theme from Hee Haw. If you remember that show.
How about Popcorn, Hot Butter? It's instrumental.
But I do James Taylor and Carly Simon Mockingbird, but I do both parts.
Right. I've seen it.
Mock. Yeah.
You'd have to pay us a lot more than $8.
You're right. That's a $12 fee.
The song as much as the costuming, because like, he's got half men's clothes on,
half of his
body, and then he like turns to the left.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Dress.
Yeah, by the way, I do all my own choreography. Yeah, that's true.
Be yours for $8 to $12.
And you have to put up with it, but I'll pay you right there in cash. What's John Legend in the news for?
So John Legend is the executive producer of this new show that's going to be debuting on our national cable channel, WGN America. The show is called Underground. And I've seen the pilot episode. It's pretty strong. It's the first treatment of the Underground Railroad, a story that's told sort of by militant slaves, not subservient slaves.
Yeah, we had one of the stars on. Who do we have on from that show? I think they came in and saw you as well.
Yeah.
That one.
Oh, boy, I'm completely blanking on her name.
Yeah.
Gorgeous actress.
Journey Bell.
Journey Smollett Bell. They all were at the White House last night. They had a screening of the show at the White House last night as part of a special Black History Month presentation. The whole cast was there. And John Legend was there talking about why he felt it was so important for him to be part of this project.
We've never had a TV series or a film about the Underground Railroad, and it was such an important moment in American history, such courageous stories. And if you think about what makes great television, a riveting story with a lot of urgency, a lot of interesting characters that are really complexly written and really told in a beautiful way, I was like, this is great television, and I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, so the show is going to debut on March the 9th on the national cable channel, WGN America, which is check your local cable or satellite provider of where you can find that. And also, they had last night a preview downtown at the Broadway Playhouse of a show which will make its world premiere here in Chicago. I know it sounds silly, SpongeBob the Musical, but this seems like it's going to be a really cool show. They had some performers there last night to give a little preview of it, but the director, who is Tina Landau from Second Cities, the choreographers, the music people, the producers, all talking about what the show is, and it's not going to be like a, you know, like Disney on Ice. It's not going to be costume characters of, you know, the SpongeBob costume, the Patrick costume, you know, and the other familiar characters from this animated show. It's going to be not the real voices from the animated cartoon, but people who sound just like them and look just like them in real life. So it's going to bring sort of a humanity to it while still bringing the fun of this whole thing.
Hold on. They found somebody that's square that looks like a sponge?
Well, not square, but it's a guy. It's a guy who sounds just like SpongeBob and, you know, has the same characteristics of SpongeBob. And, you know, you don't even miss the costume because you know what SpongeBob looks like. Wouldn't it be weird for 2 hours in a musical to have some guy traipsing around in a square SpongeBob?
I don't know. I think
costume?
It's kind of weird that there's a guy that looks and sounds like SpongeBob.
There's the guy that looks like Patrick is a little more off-putting, to tell you the truth.
All right. Are kids going to like this? Kids going to sit there and go, where's SpongeBob?
I think that the way that they're presenting this is going to be very whimsical and imaginative. I've only heard this one song. Now, listen to this, too. This is kind of cool because usually in a musical, there's one composer. He writes all the songs. This one, all the songs that are in this musical are written by different very well-known artists, Cyndi Lauper, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry from Aerosmith, T.I., Lady Antebellum. John Legend has written a song for this. And also, Joe Higginson from the Plain White Tees, he wrote a song for this as well. He was there at the preview last night and performed his song, which is called BFFs, along with the actor who plays SpongeBob in this. This is the world premiere on the air of this song. Listen to a little while.
Stuck inside with no TV. Being bored with you makes me happy as could be. Let's have some fun together. We'll be best friends forever. BFF, that stands for us.
So you get a little sense of the guy who sounds like SpongeBob there, don't you? A little bit?
Yeah. That's fine.
I'm dragging you to this show when this opens. We're going to sit there and we're going to be BFFs.
Is there an encore? Can I get up on your shoulders, take my shirt off, and have a lighter and wave it back and forth?
Come on, Steve. You sound like SpongeBob. I sound like Patrick.
Ethan Slater is the actor who plays SpongeBob.
Well, do we have any SpongeBob? Can I hear a little SpongeBob?
Wow. They really updated SpongeBob.
Give Kevin a raise. That's very funny.
So the show is going to open. The SpongeBob the Musical is going to open on June 7th at the Oriental Theater in Chicago. It's only going to be here for a month.
Okay.
Individual tickets are going
to
go on
for
sale.
A full month?
March 13th. I'm going to reserve judgment because I haven't seen it yet, but I think it's going to be kind of cool.
A couple of weeks is plenty.
Then it goes to New York. We're getting the world premiere before it goes to New York.
Oh, well, that's good.
Come on, Steve. SpongeBob. Yay.
Are they doing a Broadway musical for Flo the Progressive Lady sometime soon? Because it really does seem like they're running out of ideas.
It's a very popular concept, SpongeBob. One of the most popular television shows in all over the world.
Yeah, I haven't even talked about government, but buzz me anyway. I deserve to be buzzed just for my attitude. I'll talk to you later.
See you.
That's Dean, and the Steve Cochran Show continues with the big story in a moment on 720 WGN. I play this, Dave, for you because we're praying for your safe delivery from Ann Arbor from.
It's going to be fine.
From the 847 texter, is it too early to set up a Save Dave fund for the upcoming Ann Arbor blizzard of 2016?
Oh, like a GoFundMe page.
Yeah, well, Go Save Dave page.
Yeah.
I'm not by myself. There are a lot of people who will be in the same predicament. If
we've already rented two St. Bernards with what you love best, flasks of hooch around their neck to come and get you from the blizzard of Ann Arbor. Nice. What are the rickets hiding? That's the text question of the day from the 630. I think Trump's afraid to have his toupee exposed. The rickets are hiding his toupee. They're hiding the fact they accidentally put urinals into women's bathrooms. Hey, you remember opening day last year when they had the urinal problem?
Oh, that was horrible. Mm-hmm. There was the none of the bathrooms were open.
Was
the bathrooms weren't ready. Yeah, so people were having to leave the park.
They haven't finished them.
Yeah, well, they
remember
have
that
now.
Guy went out and urinated between short and third base. That was wrong.
That was weird. Awful.
But you know, come October when they were like winning a lot of games and in the playoffs,
just as I predicted.
No one. Yes, exactly. You nailed it.
Texters on the text question, or not on the text question, but on the question of the Apple FBI problem. We got a bunch of them here. You know, the one thing I like about people who are technologically savvy or work in the tech industry is their open-mindedness about things. From the 630, Steve, you're stupid. It's obvious you know nothing about technology. It's not a new operating system. The media is terrible in relaying news information. They're asking for a fix to negate a single feature so they can continue to crack the password. Not even Apple is asking for it. Learn before you speak.
Okay, you know what? Stop ripping the media. This is not the media's fault.
We're not ripping the media. They're ripping me.
Oh, then that's fine.
No, that guy hurt my feelings. Can you tell?
Does he get a buzz?
I'm just trying to do a show. Just trying to just help people. I get up every morning. I just want to help people.
Okay, pops. Grandpops.
Learn before you speak. How about you blow it out your butt, tough guy? 219. And by the way, your facts are different from mine because my facts are factual. From the 219, you guys talking about cracking a code cracks me up. From the 773, my son writes code. He says the NSA has plenty of people who can crack this phone. He wonders what the real motive is. We also got either a phone call or a text, I can't remember which, from somebody that said Apple always has a back door. They just don't want the public to know it because it would crash the stock. Here's a nice text from the 630. If Tim Cook's child is gunned down, see how he feels then. I'm not defending the Apple side because I think it's overblown, but I don't think Tim Cook is, you know, I don't think he's ridiculed or isn't thinking of the victims in this case. From the 224, if the FBI never would have publicized this information, Apple could have done this backdoor without anyone knowing it. Well, yeah, if they wanted to, but apparently they didn't. From the 847, if they wanted to, the people asked to write the code with permission could write code without permission. I like to say forgiveness, not permission. from the 815, the person that writes the code to break the phone should be put on the space shuttle and sent to Mars. I'm fine with that. Take one for the team. let's see. If the terrorist, blah, blah, blah. Sounds like someone hacked into Steve's brain. What's the second one of those we got? What about people with child porn on their computers? Are we saying enforcement shouldn't be able to access that?
Okay, that's a good point. Think about that, because if they're accessing things and they find something like that, yeah, it's illegal and awful.
I was going to ask Grzanich about it, but apparently he's been taken by the people who hacked the phone. Attention newsroom, Steve Grzanich needed next, 8:46. But first, Mary's here with the traffic trouble spots on 720 WGN.
No different than, you know, should have anybody ever been able to tell the phone company to get information? Bank records, should anybody be able to get it at bank records? There's no difference between information.
.851, the actor William Hurt, next hour. Talked to him yesterday after the show. He's a very nice guy. Andrea and I sat down with him yesterday and talked to him. He's a funny old hippie is what he is now.
Yeah, and what a brilliant guy, too. He's got a great mind. Yeah.
The interview, if you like the nuancey side of acting and of drama, I think you'll like the interview. If actors who talk about their process in terms like that, I wouldn't recommend this interview. We'll play a clip of it next hour. But a very nice guy.
Very nice guy. And you know, Juilliard, he's a classically trained actor. So.
As am I.
I know. You guys have that in common.
Right. Or was I in? No, I was in Julie's yard. That was the difference. I never actually attended Juilliard.
Well, she wasn't real happy about it either.
Steve Grzanich hosts the opening bell. You've been talking about this FBI-Apple fight. Where are you on this?
Well, you know, I'm concerned because you know, they're asking Apple to basically create something that they purposely have not, And we talked to a tech expert earlier this week who said once that cat is out of the bag, once that's created, it will allow all kinds of things. So it will help the FBI, sure, but it could also get out into the wild and help hackers get into iPhones. It could affect iPay. It could affect all kinds of things if they create this backdoor. It's why Apple, you know, purposely walled this off. They wanted it to be completely secure, I think mainly for iPay. So it's, you know, it's a slippery slope, I think.
But let me ask you this, because it's all about precedent. So if the precedent is we at Apple, we at Google, the owners of Android, have developed encryption capabilities to keep you safe for a reason, because it's your private life, you're entitled to your life, you're entitled to what's on your phone. If we're so good and in the tech industry of developing that sort of encryption, how could we let some big bang goofball who helps write the code one time for the phone walk out the front door with the code? I don't understand the fear of losing the code if it's developed on a one-time basis. And by the way, I say all that with admitting that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, and it happens all the time. Here's something to be really scared about. And this is a situation that happened with something called a bot. I think you remember a couple of years ago where all of a sudden the Iranian nuclear facilities shut down and there was, you know, they had a major technological, you know, burnout. That was a computer bot that was put into the system, presumably by the U.S., and it was its goal was to shut that machinery down. It got out into the wild. It's still out in the wild and is spreading across the country uncontrollably right now because whoever wrote the code didn't write a solution to it. So it's pretty scary. I mean, even though the FBI says they'll keep this, you know, to themselves and they'll keep it secure, that's not how history works.
Yeah, but I'm saying don't give the FBI anything beyond this phone and make the agreement such that we'll do it for this phone because that's what you asked for. But while you're standing here, FBI, we're going to have Ned from code writing come over here and destroy the code in front of both of us.
The way I understand it, though, Apple specifically created this without that code. So they wrote the software so they purposely wouldn't have the code. So they'd have to create a backdoor.
That's what I'm saying. But you create a backdoor for a one-time use, and it's destroyed and not turned over to the FBI.
I don't think it would work in this case. One-time use would affect every iPhone.
But I don't understand how it affects every iPhone. If I create something for my phone right here in front of me, you're the code genius, and you create this code for my phone. And because I paid you to create this code, while I'm standing here, you destroy the code and you remove it from my phone. How's it into the wilderness then?
Well,
I'm asking. I don't know.
I think there's a number of ways. First of all, the FBI is pretty good at espionage. They could get into the system, figure out how it was done. They could do a key click thing so they could watch. Even though they're not watching, they could have previously implanted something.
But don't you have to start with the assumption that the government is trying to get you? I mean, come on.
You know, and then the other thing, too, is San Bernardino County issued this iPhone to this guy. And if you've ever worked for a company that's issued you any sort of equipment, I worked at a big company that starts with a C, ends with an S. And they
CBS when you were at WBBM.
Yeah, they gave me a phone, and it was, you know, they could wipe it immediately. They could get into it immediately. They could do whatever they want. And San Bernardino County presumably had the very same option, but they ruined it because they let the FBI, you know, try to crack it, and that set off that the secure locking system. So San Bernardino,
it ain't North Korea.
Yeah,
you know, we live in a country that's based on freedoms that we do our best to protect. So I think it's a lot of paranoia that, frankly, has been overblown.
There's that giant facility they're building, I think, in Wyoming that's about, you know, 7 or 8 football fields long. That their its sole purpose is to store all of the data they're collecting from everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd rather we have it than, you know, North Korea.
Yeah, until we get, you know, invaded or hacked or...
I'm turning all your personal information over. You're afraid of, you're paranoid.
I have nothing to hide.
You are paranoid.
No, I have nothing to hide. I mean, all you're going to see on my phone are dog pictures and pictures of my nieces.
You say.
Yeah, well, it's kind of scary.
But the people you've talked to seem to be in unified opinion that this is a bad idea.
Yes, and they're major players, the, you know, Mark Zuckerbergs, the Virgin Galactic Richard Bransons. I think Bill Gates is one of the few big CEOs of a software company that's come out against, you know, on the side of the FBI on this.
Well, what's he ever done?
Yeah.
It's thank you, man. It's 8:57, News Next, 720 WGN.
Now, back to more Steve Cochran.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need.
And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me?
Coming up about 9:30, the president will speak on what his new plan is for Guantanamo. They'll monitor that in the newsroom. And if there is outlandish, wild, and crazy breaking news, we'll tell you about it. But in the meantime, plan remains the same. You have a 9:30 big story lined up, I assume?
Yeah, we are ready to go. Absolutely.
And we'll have updates on whatever the president says as they are warranted. David Hochberg's here. That's why we play that song, because that's the love theme from Hochberg. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What's happening?
No, everything's great. Rates are still low. Helping people. Got people on the program. That biggest winter program. Still about 40 people to contact. So if you haven't been contacted yet, hang tight. We will get to you this week.
That's where you're teaching everybody how to do their credit rating.
Yep. 280 people have already been contacted. Most of them have responded, and we've got it in play. I talked to Guy last night.
And the last time you were on, one of the most interesting things you've said is that you could literally fix your credit in 72 hours.
72 hours. Yeah, 72 to 96 hours. I've got a guy right now, literally had 10 things on his credit report. He had a 640 credit score. And he paid everything off. Took him about a week to get the letters and everything. And we just submitted all of the information, 10 items to update, and we should have it done by Friday so he could go out and close on a home that his wife is bugging him to buy.
The three major credit rating agencies, TransUnion, Experian, and what's the other one?
Equifax.
And is one better than the other?
They're all terrible, and they're all equally as bad as the others because they control your life.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of frightening if you think about it, right? One bad thing, and they don't talk to each other. That's the frightening thing. TransUnion could have nothing on it, and Equifax and Experian could have something on it, and TransUnion will be 740, and Equifax and Experian will be 620. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's no logic to it about why.
Are they licensed by the government?
No, they're privately held companies that people rely on to determine the credit worthiness of borrowers.
Does one have more sway than others?
Nope. They're both equally.
So you could literally go into Chase, and they might use.
Some lenders use different ones. Like I know First Midwest Bank, who I send all my home equity line of credits, uses TransUnion. And, you know, I've seen tens of thousands of credit reports over the past 15, 16 years, and it doesn't make any sense. One will have TransUnion up at 800, and the other two will be in the 500s, or and vice versa. So
you've literally seen that kind of spread?
Oh, yeah. I've seen on credit reports. Yes. I've seen that type of spread. Yes.
Why is it not advised? Okay, well, if you're buying a house, they say, you know, you said don't pay off your car loan. You know, you want them to see different lines of credit, but not over the top. You know, you don't want to have 25 credit cards open.
Right. Well, it's not so much. You could have 25 credit cards open. You just don't want all 25 credit cards maxed out.
Right.
Okay. So I received an email from one of your listeners who's listening right now. Who I sent the email to y'all this morning, she asked me, hey, I came into some money. I'm about ready to pay off my credit cards. Is it smart to shut my credit cards down after I pay them off? And I'm like, please don't do that. You're just going to completely eliminate and destroy everything you've accomplished by closing down your credit, you know, by paying off your credit cards. Now, the flip side is if you have $5,000 worth of credit cards and you pay off $5,000 worth of debt and you've got five credit cards with $1,000 limits, okay, and you pay them all off. If you could get the other credit card, if you want to get rid of one credit card, right? If you get the other four to increase your balances or your availability by $250 by shutting down one of the credit cards, that's fine. As long as you gain back the availability and the cards that you're keeping for the card that you're shutting down, your credit score will stay high.
So should you have a certain percentage of maxing out on the various lines of credit that you have?
You don't want to. Once you cross over the 25% utilization mark, that's when your credit scores start losing value.
25% in total?
Of the total amount that you have. So if you've got $10,000 worth of credit card utilization availability, once you hit $2,600 in balances on those credit cards, you start losing points very rapidly. And as you go north of 25%, you start losing them at an exponentially faster rate.
Well, how does it work with your American Express and you're paying it off every month?
It's a different type of calculation because it's an American Express card and it's coded differently. But what I recommend
is valued more or less?
It's valued a little less because it is a card that you could jack up all the way. And those American Express cards, typically you've got a long history, and the longer the history, the better it is in the calculation of your credit scores. What I recommend to people, if you're very, very worried about your credit score and you're buying something like a house, like a car, like a boat that you need financing, pay your credit cards off every time you get paid. It's the 25% mark. Don't use it more than 25%. Everybody remembers the day you get paid. Some people get paid weekly. Some people get paid biweekly. Some people get paid monthly. When you get paid, go online and start chipping away at your credit cards. You know, use it for convenience. Now, some people need it to survive. I'm not that naive.
Well,
to think
it's not even survival. We live in a culture where people, you know, pay off their lives through credit cards. So
sure.
You're asking for nothing but trouble.
Well, I'm asking for.
I'm saying. You're asking for. I'm saying people are asking for nothing but trouble by having to do their financial life that way. But if they are doing it that way, they're probably way over the 25% mark, right?
There's no question. There's no question. And we've got a society that can't say no, okay? And that's what the – listen, what's the U.S. economy based upon? Consumer spending, okay? So they want you to go out and spend the money, okay? Which is great, spend the money. My thing is spend the money that you have. Don't spend the money that you don't have, okay? And if you could refinance and save yourself 40, 50 bucks, 100 bucks and pay off some debt, that's the best thing instead of going out and blowing it on some – belt or shoes you don't need or socks or underpants or
Andre,
or
he's not talking to you about
no,
all that.
No, I'm not looking
nope.
at Andre at all.
Nope.
This thing.
All right, so let's do this. We'll come back and we'll get you with some specifics, but that's some good general information. Dave, you seem like you had a question there.
No.
Is it about getting home from Ann Arbor?
No, nothing about that.
Because David will come pick you up.
You said women's underwear, and it just...
Right, got all excited. Because there's a couple of places on I-94 that you could stop and get a nice pair of women underpants on the way back from Ann Arbor.
Disturbs me that you'd know that. 916.
Really?
Here's a couple of things that we'd be curious to talking about.
What exit? You want to know the exit?
Yeah, what exit?
What off-ramp?
What off-ramp?
Like.
Yeah, that in particular. If you pay off your home faster...
Yeah.
Everybody that's got a mortgage gets these double up offers, all of those things.
Uh-huh.
Good idea?
It depends if you could afford to do it, and it depends if you could afford to make money using that money in a different investment. I've got a 30-year fix at 3.375. I could pay my loan off faster. My financial guy's making a greater return on my investments, investing in other investments that are greater than 3.375%. So instead of paying my mortgage off, I'd rather invest it someplace else. But I am a disciplined person, and I don't have any debt, and that's just for me. Other people want to get rid of their mortgages as fast as they can, and that's fine.
But a long time ago, as a capitalist, I learned the concept of cheap money.
Sure.
The idea being the money you borrow at the lowest interest rate should be the thing you pay off the slowest.
I agree with you 100%. And we read the same book. But other people have got 3% loans, Steve, that want to be mortgage free by the time they retire. And that's their goal. And I'm like, hey, God bless you. I talk to people that are 50 years old and they want to pay their loan off by the time they get to 62. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And there's strategies to do that we could talk about when we come back. Because there was a lady I talked to yesterday that we refinanced, dropped her 3/8 of a point. We only saved her 45 bucks. Right. No big deal. Kept her term the same amount. She didn't want to go back to a 30. Kept her in a 27-year fixed loan. Saved her 45 bucks. You know, it seemed like it's a lot of money. You make the same payment that you're making now. You shave off over 2 years of your mortgage payments. Save her over $20,000. Doesn't cost her anything in closing costs. So we were able to recalibrate her loan. She didn't pay any closing costs. She only saved 45 bucks. But that 45 bucks being applied to her new loan at the same pace as she's paying now, she's going to pay her loan off in 2 years faster and save over 20 grand in payments.
That's, so even though it looks like 45 bucks, it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Yeah. It compounded over time, sure, and it didn't cost her anything in closing costs. So there are little tricks that people could do if they would just give us a chance to do it that will save them tens of thousands of dollars.
Another general question came up the other day. Second mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
Can you refi a second?
Absolutely.
Should you?
If you have equity in your home and the rates expiring. The problem with the second mortgages are a couple of things. Number one, a lot of them were given out 10 years ago and they're coming due. So they're either ballooning, which means you have to pay them off, or they're converting into a 20-year fixed loan. So people's payments are going from $200-$300 a month to over $900 to $1,000 a month. It's a major bump in their monthly obligations. So if people have got room in their homes, you got to take a look at refinancing either into another home equity line of credit or rolling it into your first loan. A lot of the people that have got these home equity line of credits are stuck with or were stuck with high interest rate first loans and weren't able to refinance because their property values took such a major hit. But over the past 3 to 4 years, we've seen a nice solidification in the marketplace, a nice recovery in housing values. People have paid down their loans in the past 4 to 5 years. Now there's room to do all that, and we're doing a ton of those loans. Absolutely.
If you have equity in your own home and mm-hmm. you have a second, Does it make sense to do it with the loan originator of the second, or should you shop for the best rate?
You should always shop for the best rate, because what we find is that the loan originator of the first and the second, when you go back to them, takes advantage of the consumer because they think that the consumer doesn't have options. Okay. And there's actuaries in the back room with their green shades on, you know, telling the banks this. And 9 times out of 10, we kick big banks' teeth right down their throats because we don't charge excessive closing costs, if not any closing costs at all. And we usually get them a much lower rate than their current bank that thinks they're stupid and charges them high closing costs. I mean, I can't believe what these banks are charging people in closing costs. It makes me nauseous.
But if you drive by a bank and it's your bank and it's the I think you're stupid bank, shouldn't you get another bank?
Well, people don't know that.
It's got the rotating sign that says people, I think you're stupid.
I go into Big Blue all the time. Okay, that's where I bank. Okay,
that's a great point, though, because I did, too. Remember?
I know you
and
did.
I said, I'm not going to leave my bank because right. It's been my bank for all these years. But there's better rates maybe at other banks.
I go into Big Blue Bank because that's where I bank. Okay, and I see the big placard, interest rates, this, and I laugh all the time. I laugh all the time because I'm beating whatever's there. And I know I'm doing it with no closing costs. And it's just I just feel bad for the consumer because the consumer thinks they have to go to the back to their bank and their bank takes advantage of them for their loyalty most of the time.
So do you go into banks in the lobbies, just laugh, turn around,
yes.
And walk out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. I bet people
passing out cards.
I bet people love that joke.
Waiting for people.
I bet that's a great joke.
Go to the mortgage section. You're looking for a mortgage here. I'll
help you out.
I'll take care of it.
We did that at our closing. We went into the old bank and just laughed and laughed and danced.
We did the $400 a month dance. It's a very good dance.
It's 9:21. We're back after this with David Hochberg. How do people get a hold of you, by the way?
You go to WGNDavid.com, or you could call me at 312-751-1333.
All right, more in a moment. 720 WGN.
All right.
David Hochberg's here from Pearl Mortgage. By the way, an email about you, Mr. Hochberg. I know you don't like when people compliment you or when I brag about you, but I think this is nice. Wanted to thank you for taking the time to help me. I look forward to working with you to get where I want to make this dream of ours a reality. You're not only helping me, but you're helping give my wife a chance of a somewhat normal life. This is a woman that's been quite ill.
Yep.
So I'm going to get started paying off these bills and making arrangements of those to make sure they're paid off. I pray the next time we talk, you'll see some big changes. Again, thanks for getting out of your way or going out of your way to help us. It's so hard to find people like you anymore to do what you do and do it so well. God bless. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Should it make you feel good?
It does. I talked to him. He's an entrant, one of the entries in the biggest winner contest. He's got 560 credit scores. He's a complete mess right now. He didn't know half of the collections that he had on there. So gave him a little plan to go to the different places he needs to go to get.
I gave him hope, too.
Yeah, we gave him direction, gave him hope. And I said, you know, this is what you got to do, buddy. And if you're there, you know, I talked to him at 8:01 last night. He works the night shift. He was getting ready to go to work. And he called me exactly at 8:01. And we're in the process of hoping that he does what he says he's going to do and follow up with them every month.
That's a big thing in your business, right? Follow through, where you give people instructions on how to get it done, but then they have to actually do the legwork.
Well, sure. It's like Andrea's got Ann Sather's meals delivered to her. It's her
Seattle
it's her,
Sutton.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Seattle Sutton.
Yeah.
Sorry. Seattle Sutton. Meals even better than Ann Sather's. Ann Sather's is the sticky buns, right?
That's the cinnamon buns.
Oh,
yeah,
you don't want to lose. Yeah,
no, I can't. I
we'll go there to celebrate.
Those.
Sorry,
those are two different.
We'll
places.
Do a happy dance. We'll go. Later.
We'll buy a lot of sticky buns for $400 a month. But you know, you're on Seattle Sutton. She gets the food delivered, picks it up, whatever. It's up to her to eat what's in the bag and exercise and do that. Same thing. I could give you the direction, but I can't be there to make sure that you do it all.
Right.
And that's what people are doing. This guy makes $65,000 a year. He's on a set budget. His wife is disabled. She can't work. She's at home. Gets some type of limited disability. And her dream has always been to own a home. And he's like, I'm going to make this dream happen for my wife. I said, well, I hope that we could help you and the information that we provided.
He sounds like a good guy.
He's a great guy. I mean, he busts his hump. He's out 12 hours a day. And, you know, he's like everybody listening out there. He's an average blue collar guy. Who's talking to these guys? Nobody's giving these guys any direction.
So give him help.
And that's what we're doing. We're just giving a little guidance.
David, I'll help you be a better grown-up.
Yes.
Give you guidance on being a better grown-up.
Yes.
Which I know you as a friend, and you're quite immature in your own life. Very. So the fact that you can help people be better grown-ups is rather remarkable.
Well, people don't know that when they go into it, but thanks for letting them know
On the professional
side. On the professional side.
The professional side, you are a grown-up guru.
Yes.
And your own personal
life. I'm a mess.
Yeah,
right.
You're a mess.
I'm a mess.
312, David, does one's FICO score drop after you retire?
If you stop paying your credit card bills on time, you stop being a responsible borrower. Well,
so retirement has no indication.
It's got nothing to do with it.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with your age, if you stand or sit, if you go to the bathroom, what country you were born in, what color your skin is, what God you pray to.
Pay your bills.
It's got to do with your ability to pay your bills on time. That's it. Period. End of statement.
312, can you ask David if there's a limit to the amount of cash gift one can receive when buying a home?
No. There is not a limit to the amount of cash.
So I can just buy you a house.
If you want, that would be phenomenal. Yeah. I've got one. I got my wife's.
I would have done that, but last Saturday I lost a lot of money.
Oh, sorry to hear.
Well, yeah. Okay. Question number 3. I have no debt. I paid off my house and I pay my credit card debt in full every month. I only have one credit card, a MasterCard. I have a good credit rating, and I've been told it would be even higher if I had another credit card. I'd like to buy a different house. I'm afraid to get another credit card because I fear it might hurt my credit card rating, or my credit rating, I should say. What do you recommend? I talked to you about this because I told you I funnel almost everything through my American Express.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a debit card that also is a bank credit card. But right.
you get credit for that.
Yeah, exactly. And you said get another credit card dummy.
Yeah.
Because you can talk to me like that.
Yes. On the golf course in the middle of no place where you could have buried the body and nobody would have found it, which
right.
would have been great.
Right.
No, but in the case of the person with the house paid off, okay, with the credit card, there's no reason to open up another credit card. I would open up a line of credit with First Midwest Bank to gain access to the liquidity in their house that they could use for a down payment of a new house if and when it comes, if they have trouble selling their current house. And that line of credit will also show up as a credit report as a line for $150,000, $200,000. It's free to get it. Doesn't cost you anything. Best way to get it. And if you want more information about line of credit, you know, shoot me an email. Just go to WGNDavid.com. But for people that own their homes, it's great to own your home, but not have access to the liquidity in your home, which is cash, in case of an emergency, is just backwards to me. And the best time to get access to money is when you don't need it, when you're healthy, when you have a job, when you have income, when your credit's good, instead of when you're lying on the side of the road in the middle of a car crash and you're bleeding out. Okay, so if you have homes that are paid off, definitely open up a line of credit. Most of the banks, I know First Midwest Bank will do it for free. And it's just there. It's a checkbook against your house. You have to pay a yearly fee of 25 or 30, whatever they charge you. But you've got access to all that money. God forbid you need it. And when do people, when's the toughest time to get money? When everything's a mess, you know, the best time to get money is when you don't need it. So that's why you need to go and take out a line of credit now. It's huge. It's important.
Yeah, if your house is paid off, use the money.
You don't even need to use the money. It's just there to access if, God forbid, you need to
use it. I don't mean use the money literally.
Well, unless you want to buy me
something.
Kevin,
could you slap the blood pressure cuff on David? We're about to finish here. I just want to make sure he's okay.
I'm good. Is
Andre,
like vein popping?
No, I think it's great. Listen to what he says. You can, and then we'll all be doing the happy dance at the other banks,
right? And Nancy, there's sticky buns.
And there was a general question about student loans, but it came down to, can you help me with student loans? You can certainly advise.
We could advise and people.
Consent.
Yes. Yeah, you can go to SOFI.com, SOFI.com, SOFI.com. That's the private money consolidation. Or you could just contact your servicing company that services your student loan and ask them if you qualify for any type of consolidation. You could do all of that for free. You know, we started the student loan consolidation business. We thought we'd kill it, but nobody wanted to pay us for our services to work on these loans because they're like, well, I could do this for free. I'm like, so do it for free. So that business kind of went down the toilet. But, you know, nobody wanted to pay us. So now I just tell people.
But you tell people what to do.
Call your servicer and see what you could do. IBR, income-based reduction. Cops, firefighters, if you work for the government, if you work for the military, there's options out there that there are 10-year forgiveness programs.
And SoFi.
And SoFi. SoFi, SOFI.com. And that's the next big bubble, by the way. It's like, I think it's
a disaster
waiting to happen. It's an absolute train wreck. on the brink of destruction that nobody wants to talk about. We're giving these kids $50,000 to $100,000 that are 17, 18 years old that don't know what to do. We're scrubbing them down. We're scrubbing people down that have been working for 25 years to get a mortgage, you know, more so than we are kids going to college that have no idea what day it is. But we're loading them up with $50,000 to $100,000 with student loans. It makes no sense. And of course, that's going to blow up and bite us in the
face. And you have almost no chance of getting the job to pay off the loan when you get out of college in the current environment.
It's going to take you forever.
Yeah. Nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And
always good seeing you.
We can release Dr. Most, who didn't say anything during the segment, but we always have Dr. Most nearby with David Shear in case David has some sort of medical emergency.
Is that who's in the green room?
That's okay. Yeah, that's what the paddles were for.
I didn't know what that whole contraption
was
for.
Paddles.
He was measuring me for things. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what's going on.
Back to the big story next on 720 WGN. Yeah. Steve Cochran Show continues. Bill and Wendy at 10. Before we get to William Hurt, Texter says, since Madigan won't come on, how about Jason Gonzalez, who's running against him? I'd be happy to welcome Mr. Gonzalez on. Jason Gonzalez running against Madigan for Madigan's seat. Consider Jason Gonzalez invited. And, Kevin, I don't know if you've talked to Madigan's office in the past couple of hours. Kevin usually calls Steve Brown, Mike Madigan's whatever.
Spokesman.
Is that it? That's done.
Mm-hmm.
Usually calls him six or seven times a day to see if Madigan has any holes in his schedules where he can come on because he's very busy. Very, very busy. Very important. What are we hearing now? I'm going to take that as a no for the time being. Okay. Once again, Mr. Madigan, you're always welcome here if you care to address the people of the state of Illinois. Oh, wait, that's politics, isn't it? That was politics, wasn't it?
Oh, you were doing so well.
Marion, why weren't you all over that? You've been on me all day. Why weren't you on there?
I totally missed it. Darn.
9:46, William Hurt, the great actor, the great Oscar-winning actor, William Hurt, is promoting his new series, Beowulf, and Andre and I talked to him yesterday right after the show. I want to play some of that back for you now. Where do we get the full interview, Kev?
That'd be WGNRadio.com on the Steve Cochran page, WGNRadio.com/Cochran.
And you may not have noticed, but I talked to Mr. Hurt about this. All the great actors now are doing television, and that used to be a step down when he got into the business.
I think it was then, you know, because the feature format, feature fiction format, was the one where you could do the most, you could delve deeper. Then that changed over time. Some people, you know, they got a little bit too heavy-handed trying to make sure that they had a hit on their hand, and when they stopped taking risks, the risks were where people had to take chances, and they could do it with technology giving them some more freedom. Like nowadays, you take a look at young people, if they have a will to do it, there's more technological expression ability at their fingertips than ever in history. And some of these guys are turning out some of the best work, the most imaginative and perceptive work. Because they can get their hands, you know, it's not so expensive.
Yeah, and I like the risk taking. I like the fact that some of these entrepreneurs.
The risk factor was everything. Cecil B. DeMille took risks every day. I mean, humongous, huge risk. I mean, and that. Not just financially. I mean, he took immense artistic risks. And sometimes people get cozy or cagey about remembering that the risks you have to take are the risks of perception, not your pocketbook.
I think it's cool that you're introducing this classic literary tale. I'm a big fan of Beowulf to a whole new generation who might not be familiar with the story.
Yeah, it is absolutely thrilling to be able to wake up these creatures that were born in our minds, the minds of our ancestors, a long, long time ago. And maybe now we're going to get a chance to greet our ancestors again through the inventions that they left us in this new format.
A lot of pressure, though, when you project, you have to protect all of your kin and all of your people and do it in that sort of costume. I mean, you know, that sucker rides up on you. It's going to be a rough day.
They were all rough days in those days.
So, Andre, I don't know if you looked at the IMDb credits for William Hurt, but he was doing stage. And in 1977, he goes to work, does a little television, does film. The 80s blow up, right? And he does everything in the 80s. You know, he had Big Chill. He had Body Heat.
Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Broadcast News Academy Award for Kiss of the Spider-Woman. William Hurt has not stopped working since 1977. I insist you take a day off.
Okay.
But you understand what I'm saying. As an actor, the idea is to always be able to work. It looks like you never stopped working.
I do, though. In fact, one of the best things I do for my work is stop working. I'll just go away entirely from any thoughts or time with any kind of entertainment at all. I just shut it all off. And that's when I start to cook. You know, I start getting imagery out of my head, or at least consumerist imagery out of my head. And I just go back and I go into the kitchen, or I go in the garden, or I go kayaking, or walking, or hiking, or something. I get myself out into, you know, the natural world, and that feeds me as much, you know, as when I come back, it feeds me to be with creative people, because that's the pleasure.
The cool thing about looking through your credits, though, is you've done, you know, big commercial hits, you've done small films, and it looks like everything in between. I feel like you haven't missed a single genre. Is there something that comes to you now that you go, man, that's one thing I've never done?
Hip-hop.
rap.
I got your name. It's Ice Hurt.
I'm waiting for Cronenberg to call me with one.
That would be fantastic.
There's things that I had. I remember working with Woody Allen one time, and he said, "Do you improv?" And I went, "What do you mean?" He said, "Will you make up lines?" And I go, "Well, I do if I'm prepared." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I think improvisation requires just as much preparation as saying a line that's written on a page." And I was working on a project called Alice at that time, and I kind of ran away from that challenge that day. But I would love to work on a project which was entirely improvised, as long as we worked on it as hard as the people at Studio, the second stage, worked on that principle, for instance, because it's just as deeply character-based, it's just as deeply idiosyncratic, and it's just as deeply meaningful as anything that's scripted. The question is whether or not you're going to prepare well enough in the format that you're using that day. So there are a lot of things I haven't done.
Was there any improv on the set of The Big Chill? Because I'm telling you, that's one of my favorite movies to this day. One of the greatest casts, I think, ever.
And that was also very well prepared. I mean, we rehearsed a solid 3 weeks on that project. And that's one of the reasons it looks so naturalistic, looks so, you know, real, is because it was so well prepared. And when you say well prepared, it doesn't mean that you've glossed over the questions. You haven't entombed them in the description of themselves. You're actually allowing yourself to be more vulnerable, more alive. By preparing, you're not holding yourself up. You're not fortifying yourself against surprises. You're creating surprises.
Very thoughtful, deep at times.
Very deep, yeah.
Yeah. So, how old is he?
Oh.
Maybe 65-ish,
you know,
maybe.
I looked it up yesterday. Hold on.
65? Is that right? Is that the
number? Is it 65?
I'm asking.
Well, he won for Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Is he really 65? What do I win?
I guess.
You win a Luminati's gift card, 1-800-LU-TO-GO. Visit one of their 700 locations in the Chicagoland area.
How about a Chevy Drive Chicago package with Papa Nicholas coffee and the other thing?
The stainless steel coffee travel mug?
Yeah, that situation.
Courtesy of the Chevy.
ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Yep.
Could I get a pair of tickets to see Crystal Bauer Socks of American Idol fame at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles on February 26th?
No, you can't. The listeners can, though.
We'll get tickets at oshows.com for that. And I suppose I'm also not eligible for a pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band.
No, but we'll be giving those away the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow,
at the Hollywood
Thursday,
Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park, one night only, Saturday, June 25th. Ticketmaster for tickets for that. I know when I get home from that concert, I like to put my head on a MyPillow. MyPillow guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Go to MyPillow.com. I had a fight with my MyPillow last night.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Did you sleep in separate rooms?
No, I apologized.
Okay.
It was my fault.
That's good for life.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. It's my fault.
I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. That's my opinion. It's 9:54. Bill and Wendy coming up. Oh, Dave, you got to mention the air climb thing again. Let's do that in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, stand by. Details on Dave climbing stairs. You thought today's show was fun. Wait till you see this on 720 WGN. What are you guys doing today?
Are you following this story out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, Steve? They're saying that nobody should come to Ann Arbor. They're expecting a horrible, horrible snowstorm, the likes of which they say have never been seen.
Dave has no chance of getting back alive.
That's what they're saying, yeah. So we're going to follow that.
All right, so Ann Arbor weather. Be part of the Bill and Wendy show, which starts right now.